Be careful with that stuff. Be careful back there. What'd you do? You just did? You nailed it. That is perfect. Well, listen, y'all come up here for just a second. We've got a space for you to go and be a part of understanding your faith and understanding your walk and understanding who Jesus is and understanding how it works in a way that you'll just take a hold of. So, church, pray with me. We're going to ask God to touch and bless these children, those classrooms, and those teachers. So all of us cowboys, let's all pull our hats off. And then let's everybody, let's bow our head and we'll close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray for just one second. Lord Jesus, thank you because you are Jesus, because you're God, because you do. So Lord, we just ask for your blessing today. We ask a blessing on these children that they might come to know those teachers, that they have the strength and the courage to share, and those classrooms that they're safe in a place of refuge. We thank you for all these things, and we pray in the precious name on the very authority that your son Jesus has given us, and all God's people say, amen. All right, get you a cup of coffee on the way. Coffee? Did you get coffee today? All right, and I know you are coffee, right? No, I thought he escaped, but no, he had a mission. He had a mission. Well, all right. We're in a good place. Front row, huh? See, when you get here late, you got to sit in the front row. Oh, you don't mind either. I like your style. When you get here early, you got to stand up here. That'll booger you. So, life is messy. It's kind of a pigsty out there right now in a beautiful sort of way. Got a little over an inch of rain at my house. I'm going to tell you, I needed that. It almost all run off. What didn't run off soaked in really, really good. So, man, we're right on time. We're a little behind, but we'll get caught up. But the idea is that it comes right on time. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus does. You believe in that big God? That God who literally is in sovereignly in charge of everything. Right? Who tells the Son? Jesus does. You think anything ever happens and God goes, oh my goodness, I did not see that coming. Everything, right? We know that this is the truth, that God doesn't create any kind of evil, but if things happen that we don't like, we automatically want to get all up on the evil part of life. But really the truth is, and I'll just be honest with you, I generally am, I don't learn much from the mountaintops. When I'm up there and it's all skittles and rainbows and I'm winning, I think it'll never end. I think, dang, I must be doing something right. Only to have the rug pulled out from underneath of me, something, right? And then I'm tumbling down there and I'm mad and I'm fighting and I'm angry about the whole thing. I land in the valley and I stay there mad for a little bit. Then I recognize, I see what you did there, Lord. I needed that. That helped me. That changed me. That affected me. The reason I want to talk about all that is because I don't know that you and I, generally speaking, Christians, really grasp the power of prayer. And the reason that we don't generally grasp that in a real living sense is because, honestly, we're probably not really comfortable praying because we're not sure about why we should pray or how we should pray. Maybe even what we should pray for. And so generally speaking, we just fake it or we avoid it. Or we just don't do it. But I'm going to bet you every one of us has been faced with a situation where somebody said, whoa, can I just tell you about the mud hole I'm in?
Oh my goodness, you ought to see, I've been so bucked off and strung out now, I just need. And we know in our spirit the right thing to do is to say, listen, friend, let me pray with you. And then just pray, Lord, I don't even know how to help, but you do. Lord, I don't even know what is really going on, but you do. Lord, I don't, but you do. And I just want to raise my brother or my sister. I just want to stand with them and say, do it. Whatever your will is, do it. The truth is, almost every one of us, well, I say almost, honestly, everybody would pray in a foxhole. Everybody. When your bullets are going and you don't know if they're coming or they're getting pushed, but when it's like that, everybody prays. And I love that. There's a lot of us, many of us will pray when we need something. Like I've tried to work it out and I've tried and now I feel this real need and so I'm going to pray now. And then it's kind of, it's effective, it's good, and I need, so I'm going to come to the Lord with that thing. Some of us pray because we want to be about prayer. We want to go find out what it is that God wants to do with me now in this situation and how all this is working out. There's a few of us that pray all the time. That just pray all the time. It's just the natural thing. I wish I was one of them. I bet you do too. Prayer is this thing that it's hard for us to get our head around because we don't necessarily see the results right now. So we think, I don't know if it's working. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if I should. I don't know how. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. We get caught up in this thing. And it all depends on how we see God. If God is sovereign, and He is, if God is sovereign, and that's who I know as God, then He is in charge of everything. And so everything going on ought to go through Him. And if it's going to go through Him, I need to find out what's going on so I can get on board with how that's going to work out. If God is sovereign, and He is, then He's a big God, and He is waiting to hear from me. Not because I am going to obligate Him to do something, but because He wants me to know, to learn, to come closer, to be a part of. He is encouraging me to come towards Him. Prayer does that. Prayer is about that. That's the thing that's so important for me and you to remember is that we are praying for God's will. And can I tell you, sometimes I just need to understand what that is because my will and God's will is a lot of times two different things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of us prayed for something and thought, oh, no, it didn't happen? And then you look back all these years later and you think, thank you, Jesus. Real stuff. That's how we roll. That's how we live. This is what our life is like. So what we want to do is find out how it is that I'm going to understand God's will for my life. We're going to do that through prayer. We're going to pray, Lord, show me, teach me, help me, guide me, lead me. And then we're going to open up our big book of Scripture. And we're going to see what God says. Because this is the Word of God. So if I expect God to write it on the dust on the dash of that truck of mine, I'm mistaken. He ain't. But if I'm asking, I need to find out situations. I need to find out what other men, other people did, how it went for other people. I just need to be in here because I can find answers in here. And then my will and God's will are coming together. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. He's speaking to me in His Word. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read out loud. It works. That's real. It's the truth. And so doing this together is how we're going to find out. We're going to ask, we're going to pray, and then we're going to be in our Bibles, we're going to be in Scripture, we're going to know, and then we're going to do something. We're going to do something. There's been plenty of times, and I know you know those times when you felt God was moving you and you thought, let's just prove it one more time. And then it passed. you missed the opportunity. I was standing there and I watched the opportunity go right by me. I knew what God wanted me to do and I didn't do it. And then I realized I'm never going to have that opportunity again. I want to be better like that. I prayed, God answered, and I chickened out. Real life stuff. So I'm thinking to myself, self, I've got to talk about prayer in a real super practical way so we can get our head around this thing. So I went to the most practical rascal in the whole of Scripture, James. If you got your Bibles, open your Bibles up to the book of James. This guy is just straight up honest. What he's talking about is a real life deal with it. And so here James, in James chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a bunch of little one-horse towns. And then right after you get past the letter to the Hebrews, you come to James. And then James chapter 5, and I'm going to start in the 13th verse. And so I want you to take a hold of this. This is an example that we have in Scripture, just one of many, of the power and the reason and the way and the people of prayer. We need to get a hold of this little thing, this little lesson right here. There's a ton of them. But in this one, in 5 and 13, here's what James tells us. He said, are any of you suffering hardships? You ought to pray. Are you happy? Sing praises to the Lord. Are you sick? Call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah, he was a human just like us, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none fell for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. So super practical James gives us this little thing right here, and I'm thinking to myself, what do I got to take out of this? There's much. And what I want to talk about first is how misunderstood and misused this verse is. That's why it appeals so much to us. The earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My memory is King James stuff. That's a beautiful thing to say. The earnest prayers of righteous people, like maybe the Pope or somebody. But the thing that we want to really grasp that really gets us hung up on is that, well, call the elders and have them pray over you and you'll be healed. Like somehow we can obligate God to do because we. You follow me? So we get to this place in Scripture and we think, I love this part because now I just gotta call for the elders and then my problems are gone. My illness is gone. My wounds will be healed. This is not what Scripture says. And I want to start with saying that the entire book of James is written to people who have been whipped, beaten, dispersed, chased out. They're out there in the world trying to live their faith in a culture that opposes them. They're scattered abroad. They're no longer right in Jerusalem all together, standing strong. And they're being persecuted. They're being whipped. They're being chased around. And what the context of this is James is saying, so how do we come along beside our brothers and our sisters who are hurting and who are wounded and who are fighting and who are about to fail because they've stood so long and it's been so hard and they just kept on and they just kept on and now they're just at the end of their rope. They're about to crash. That's what the whole letter is about. It read in James 1. In 1:1, he said, this is a letter from James, a slave to the Lord Jesus. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. They no longer live where they're all in this great community. They're being persecuted. Similarly, brothers and sisters, we live in a culture that is persecuting us, that opposes our faith. We stand in a place where we don't just get to stand in a public square and say, thus saith the Lord. We don't get the freedom in our schools to share that. So we are being opposed. Similarly, the same thing going on to them is going on to us. Take a hold of that. That's what James is talking about. And for you and I, we're gonna land on this word. If any of you are sick, call the elders, and they'll come pray over you, and God will make you better. Literally, that's how we want that to hear from us. To come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, and such a prayer will heal. But I want to tell you that what the word, and I don't want to get all into an English-Greek language session, but so often, words are translated and they're misunderstood, because sick can mean ill, like you got a cold, but it also means that you've been whipped, that you're suffering, that you no longer feel able, you're weak and you're weary and you fought the good fight, but oh my goodness, it's just overwhelming you. And you're at the end of your rope. Sick, that's the same word, sick. And when James is using it here, we just got to grasp it like that. We don't want to, because I would rather that I could tell God, the elders just prayed for me, Lord, remove this infirmity from me. And if you don't, I'm going to blame you. I'm going to fight you. Make me better because I'm doing what you told me to do. Nothing could be further from the truth. We can't obligate God to do these kind of things. Prayer is not you and I obligating the creator of the universe to do something. But it is speaking, communicating with, being with our God. Finding a place. Because when I'm the weakest, I need the strongest people around me. When I'm suffering the most, I need people of strength around me. I don't care if you were fighting a battle in the army or on the street, or if you're fighting an illness in your personal life. You need men and women around you who are spiritually strong and can stay with and encourage you so that you don't fail and quit. Because I'm prone to quit. We're prone to quit. That's what we want to do. That's where we want to get. And so what James is talking about in this practical part is our body, our soul, and our spirit. Let's don't get hung up. He said, man, if any of you are in hardships, pray. Stay in the fight. If any of you are happy, pray. Although here he says, praise the Lord, right? Which is prayer. Me telling you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're beautiful. That is me happily expressing, praying to God. That's what praise is, prayer. And all of this stuff is the reality of what we're supposed to do. So when James says we're going to call for the elders, we need elders to come alongside. In the context of all of this, he's saying, call the most spiritual people you know to come and encourage you. Because you're at the bottom of the, in the valley. You're at the bottom of the barrel. You need somebody to encourage you because you're trying to quit. And who are those people? Well, they knew them as elders. You and I know them as probably the elders of a church who should be spiritually and emotionally strong in this way. But what about the regular people who are not elders, who are literally prayer warriors? Have you ever heard that word used? Prayer warriors. Men and women who have the ministry of prayer. Men and women who have the ministry of prayer. Men and women who could come alongside you and they know just at the right time, the right way, the right words. It is what they love to do. Pray. And they want to pray with you. And they want to pray for you. And they want to pray about you. They're not so concerned about themselves. All that they want to do is serve and find and encourage and lift up and stand with. And I want to share another thing with you, that this word anoint, and have you ever heard of an anointing service where you come up and stick there in a special oil and they touch you on the forehead, be healed. That's not in here. See, anointing has a couple of different ways to use it. Ceremonial, which is what I was just talking about, right? Like, I have some authority that you ain't got. Ceremonial anointing, when Jesus said, the Lord has anointed me to be, to to share this great news, this gospel message, Jesus said, God has ceremonially sent me. But this anointing, turn back to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 10. I want to show you what this anointing is. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to be down in the 34th verse. You ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? All the great religious people walk right by the guy. He's been beaten, bloody. He's laying there naked and wounded, and he's going to die. And everybody who's supposed to help him goes by him, but this Samaritan guy who ain't supposed to help him, they should leave hands. This guy stops. And guess what the Samaritan does in 34? Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and bandaged them. So if you're in the King James, it said he anointed him with oil. Can I tell you what that means? That means what he did was doctor the guy. He doctored the guy. They didn't have penicillin and all that kind of stuff. You know what they would do? They would rub those wounds with oil to soothe the wounds, take the hurt off, take the pain. They would pour wine in there to help disinfect it. They didn't know exactly what all that was. But what he was doing was doctoring the guy. Can I tell you what James is telling you and I to do when he says that we should anoint you with oil? We should doctor you. I'm telling you that here's what God wants you to do. Pay attention to what the doctor says. Take the medicine. Be a part of. See, God invented doctors and he invented medicine. Just like he invented great athletes who can do these Olympic things, right? He also invented men and women whose brains work in that medical sense. He gave doctors the special ability to heal. They recognize, they understand, they know, and invent medicines. James is saying this whole be healed thing is not in play. He's saying when we pray for them, our brothers and our sisters, when we want to help them and encourage them, we're also going to encourage them, take some aspirin, friend. Do something about it. Help yourself. Take some medicine. The doctors have given you a prescription. Go get it filled. Do the things that God has put in place for you to do. And then be healed. Find out what's going to happen with this thing. When you call, which means that when I'm at the bottom of the barrel and I'm fighting, I need to take some initiative. How many of you have said, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Nobody from the church ever showed up. Too bad, so sad. Did you call? Did you say, hey, could you come pray with me? Because that's literally what James is saying here. Come on, man. If you need prayer, don't assume everybody else knows it. Call somebody. Call somebody. Reach out. Say, hey, could you? Would you? And it'll happen. But at the end of the day, take some initiative. Call somebody to come pray with you. Do what the doctor says. Take care of yourself. Do these things because that's how God heals people. And here, God is saying we should do the praying. We should be spiritually sound, strong, encouraged, lift up. Because we don't know what God's will is. I know what I want. I want you healed. But I don't know if that's what God's doing with you. Maybe this valley, there's something for you to learn. I don't know. But I'm going to pray that you're healed. You want to pray that you get healed. We want to be encouraged in this way, strengthened in this way. But at the end of the day, not my will, but thine is the reality of our prayers. But be encouraged that this church stands with you. Your prayer warriors, your friends, they stand with us. That's what our prayer is supposed to be about. And in James 1 and 6, just notice this. He said, when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Such people shouldn't expect to receive anything. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They're unstable in everything they do. So don't call for the sketchy people in the world who don't really understand anything to come pray for you. Call people who you believe are spiritually strong. The elders of the church are a good start. But there are people in your life who you know are prayer warriors. People who love to pray. People in this church who we know would love to pray. and love the opportunity to pray, to go come beside you and sit with you and be a part of what's going on in your life, and not just do it in a superficial way, but their heart breaks for you. They want to see you healed and spiritually strong. These are the people we should call on. This is a gift of God. People with the gift of intercessory prayer. I'm almost positive I said that right. Intercessory prayer. Coming and interceding for you with God. Not just the elders, prayer warriors, and we need them in our lives. And then we can discover what God's will for our life is and be okay with that because we're trusting God. Jesus does. If we believe that, then we're going to be okay with it. Jesus does is a truth. If God is the sovereign creator of the universe, he already knows the beginning from the end and the whole story. He knows what's best. When I was 14, I wanted a lot of stuff that was not best for me. And I prayed about it. Because I learned in church that that's what you do. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And you know, God didn't answer any of those. Not in the way I wanted him to. Thank you, Jesus. But at the end of the day, now I look back and I see that and I recognize that. And I know that what I was doing was preparing myself. Did I spit? Positive I did. I was preparing myself. God, it didn't go far. God was preparing me. God's preparing you. God's preparing us. We have ministry to do in this world, friend. We have, and it starts with us being in prayer, finding out what God's will is today. Who we are, what we are, why we are, where we are. And then to do something about it. See, it's so easy to get to church on Sunday. Talk about, dang, boy, I hope this lasts me all week. I'm going to show up next Sunday too. Put your feet to work. Put your hands to work. Get out. See, Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays ought to be about kingdom work. We should pray all the time. It should be how we are, who we are. And if we're in that kind of business, if that's who we are, we're going to run into the people who most need us. And you know when we're the happiest? When we are involved with the people who most need us. When we get to use our gifts, when we get to share what God's given us. Prayer is a powerful thing. This is something that we've got to do. And when we say, when we read in James that the prayer of a righteous man will avail us much, will heal you, will make you well, we want that to mean something that it does not. But the prayer of the righteous men and women in your life and in my life will encourage me, strengthen me, raise me up, help me stand, help me go, help me become, help me do more. Because on my own, I can only take so many blows to the face before I quit, before I fall back, before I'm no longer willing to take another step. Life is brutal. I ain't got to tell you nothing. Just when you think you got it going your way, the doctor says, the banker says, our children say, our spouse says, just when you think, there it goes. And what do we need? Prayer. Prayer. Confident, biblical, encouraging, strengthening prayer. It does much. It cures much. It solves much. Lest you think that prayer ought to heal because I asked God and he ought to do it. Can I tell you that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, this won't take long. Drop back to your left to 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, you might be familiar with this. I hope you are. But here, this guy run with James. They're contemporaries. They know each other. And in 2 Corinthians 12, In verse 8, here's what God said. Three different times I begged God to take this thorn from my flesh. It doesn't say what it was. It doesn't say it was cancer. It doesn't say it was a peg leg. It doesn't say it was a deformed hand. It doesn't say it was a migraine headache. You know why it doesn't say that? So we don't get stuck on one thing. He said, take this thorn from my flesh. I prayed three times. I meant it. I'm serious. I'm Paul. I do all this stuff. He said, I prayed three times for the Lord to take it. And you know what God said to him? He says to me and he says to you, my grace is sufficient. Rest in my grace. Because when you're the weakest, I'm the strongest. When you depend on me, you can. Jesus does. And so hold on. I want to show you something else too. He told his little buddy Timothy, little old preacher man, in 1 Timothy 5, drop back to your left to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, here's what he tells Tim. He said, come on, Tim, stop drinking only water. 5:23. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you're sick so often. He didn't say, Timothy, just pray and get over being sick. He said, drink a little bit of wine. You need a little medicine. You need a little bit of help that way. He didn't say get drunk, so don't read that wrong either. But he says, do something about your sickness. Don't just pray to God and then think, well, that's all I got to do. He said, do something. But one more time, I want you to see this in 2 Timothy 4. Go to your right, 2 Timothy 4. Almost to Titus, and we'll be in the 4th chapter and a 20th verse. Read this with me. Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus. I was hoping you were reading that out loud. And I left that guy sick at Miletus. If anybody could obligate God to do something, maybe it would be Paul or one of the apostles. And if it was possible, do you think he would have left him sick in that city? I just need you to see this stuff because we have to take scripture and equate it to scripture. We can't take a verse and say, well, here it is, be healed, because that is wrong. And these verses prove that. You and I can see that. See, medicine and doctors and all of that medical community was invented by God for us to use, just like everything else. And prayer is the way that we learn, understand, grow. We pray and then we get in the Word. We get in Scripture. We follow up our prayers with the Word. And then when we see what God's doing, we do something about it. We don't just sit around and talk about, dang, that was cool. Hope that works out. We do something. We move. We move our hands and our feet. And honestly, we're not going to live a minute longer than our appointed time. But if you want to jump off of the building and break both your legs, you can do what God wants you to do with two broken legs. And if you want to injure your body, wear your body, if you don't want to take care of yourself, you can suffer the consequences and still be used by God. Because you're living on God's time. You can be the healthiest guy ever and fall over dead one day. It doesn't mean don't do anything. Be about your doctors. Be about your health. Be about it. But that's not what's keeping you alive. God is. And He is sovereignly dealing with you and I. And the way we'll understand it is through prayer and the Word. We'll be involved in this. This is something that we want to do. We are supposed to steward not just our time and our talents and our resources, but our bodies. And we ain't going to be good at it. We all do things that are stupid, that are going to cause us. And we'll say stuff all the time like to our children, when you grow up, don't do this, while they watch me do this. But the truth is, God's got me, and He's got you. It's working out just like it's supposed to. Nothing happened, and he said, I did not see that coming. What am I going to do now? You're here today because you still have ministry left in you. And the way that God is going to use you, you need to discover through prayer. Through prayer and the Word. We want to understand prayer. And we're going to talk more about prayer in the next few weeks as we try to discern exactly what it is that God is calling us to do in prayer. But I want to start here because it's so important that we understand first. We do not obligate God to do anything. You and I do not have the ability to do something that will obligate the Creator of the universe to have to do something on our behalf. The sovereign God of creation, the big God that Jesus does, has got this. And it's our role to find out how to steward all of it and be involved in that sense. In 1 Thessalonians 5, you still in the T's? Drop backwards to 1 Thessalonians 5. In the 16th verse. When Paul wrote this, he is being serious. He said, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. And be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Enough said. Pray with me. Lord, it's a difficult thing to pray, to understand prayer, to get a hold of what it is. I like to pray like you're my friend and you are. I like to pray like we're super close and I know you are. But I also know that I fail, that I struggle, that my words can get confusing and that my desires can overwhelm my reality. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that we would understand prayer, that we would grasp praying at all times and in all circumstances, and that somehow in the next few weeks, Lord, we might take a hold of prayer in a new and vibrant way. That it wouldn't be about vain repetition, that it wouldn't be about any special formula or special words, but that through prayer we might understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, and what my role in this whole scheme of things is. Lord, we love you. Praise you. We worship you and you alone. And we pray to you today because your Son Jesus has given us the authority by his death on the cross to come straight to you, to speak to you, to intercede for our friends and our family and our loved ones to you through the precious blood of your Son Jesus. And it's on his name, the name above all names, that we all pray and seek you. And all God's people say, Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's blessed shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory.
Yes, I will fly away.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away.
Bye-bye,
I will fly away. Cause when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Yes, I'll fly away.